BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, I'm Lauren Laverne, and this is the Desert Island Discs podcast. Every week, I ask my guests to choose the 8 tracks, book, and luxury they'd want to take with them if they were cast away to a desert island. And, for rights reasons, the music is shorter than the original broadcast. I hope you enjoy listening. My castaway this week is the dancer and television presenter Oti Mabuse. Her adventures on the dance floor have captivated millions. She's the only professional in the 20-year history of Strictly Come Dancing to lift the glitter ball 2 years on the trot. She was also the winning mentor on both series of BBC One's Greatest Dancer, won the South African Latin American Championships 8 times, and recently made her debut as a judge on ITV's Sunday Night Spectacular, Dancing on Ice. The story behind the sequence is less well known, however. She was born near Pretoria in 1990 and grew up during Nelson Mandela's presidency, following her two elder sisters into dance. She made her first appearance at an international competition in Blackpool when she was just 11. The first trophy she won was made of a cola bottle, and her mother, a primary school teacher, worked extra jobs and even learned to sew to support her passion. However, she drew the line at allowing her youngest daughter to embark on a career as a dancer without a backup plan, which explains the civil engineering degree she studied for, though perhaps those skills will come into their own when she's knocking up a shelter on her desert island. She says, "I genuinely think people don't know their own potential until someone comes and demands it of you, saying, 'I see more, I believe in you.'" Oti Mabuse, welcome to Desert Island Discs.
Thank you for having me.
I once heard you describe dance as two bodies creating one movement, yeah, which I love. And that partnership between the two dancers is so important, isn't it? What are the most important qualities for a dance partner to have for you?
For me, I think it's first the chemistry. There has to be something that is unexplainable, that is untouchable, that the two have. That chemistry, whether it's friendship, whether it's love, whether it's passion, it sparks so much because the goals and the intentions are aligned. And from there on, we can do whatever we want.
And it's lovely to watch those partnerships, those friendships develop.
Yes.
You won Strictly in 2019 with the actor Kelvin Fletcher. Yeah. And then in 2020, your partner was the comedian Bill Bailey. Not at first glance, necessarily, an obvious dance champion, as much, yeah, as we all adore him, of course. Did you think that the pair of you would be winners when you took your first steps onto the dance floor?
With Bill, absolutely not. I remember just having deep conversations and I was like, the whole point of Strictly and what we love so much about Strictly is that Strictly is that one place where everything is possible. We had the lovely Rose come on.
Rose is Ailing Ellis this year.
And she won, you know, that's the first person on Strictly with a disability to actually win. And for so many years, you would have thought that was impossible. But on Strictly, it is. Bill was the oldest winner on Strictly. And as you said, at first glance, you wouldn't think it's possible. And then he does it. It's the magic of Strictly.
Oti, I think we should dive straight into your music choices,
yes,
today. Disc number one, what have you chosen and why?
Is Lose My Breath by Beyoncé from the Homecoming album. And I love the song. Just before I go on, every time I get riddled with nerves. And this song pumps me up. You know when they say stand and do the Wonder Woman pose? This song is that for me. I'm not obviously going to stand in the middle of the Strictly dance floor standing like Wonder Woman. I'm not going to do that. But backstage, before I go on, or first thing in the morning, I put this song on and it's the words that really get me pumped up and excited and feeling like I can do anything.
If you can't make me say, oh, like the baby's grow, you don't have to. Lose My Breath by Beyoncé with Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams. Oti Mabuse, being one of the professional dancers on Strictly, puts you in the spotlight in more ways than one. Researching for our interview today, there is so much press coverage about you and so much of it is speculative. How do you feel about your celebrity status?
I know that people are watching all the time. One thing that made me realise that was when I was picking up my dog's poop in the park. And the next day, it was in the Daily Mail. And I was like, really? Honestly?
It would have been worse if you'd been in for not picking it up, though.
Yeah.
Think about it like that.
But it was 7 in the morning. It was probably the only thing that I have in my life where, you know, sometimes you just need to center yourself. We just go walking, my dog and I, and dogs do what dogs do. And yes, I pick up after my dog. And you just don't expect little things like that to be seen and then people commenting.
Oti, for people who describe themselves as having two left feet, do you think anyone can develop the ability to dance?
Anyone, everyone. And I think that's why shows like Dancing on Ice and Strictly are so popular, is because there's this element of wanting to be whisked away in the walls on a foxtrot or skating and just gliding on the ice and feeling like you're on cloud nine. Anyone can do it. You just have to really just be brave enough to look up a dance school and take the first step. Not everybody's going to look like Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly in a week. And Strictly kind of makes it look like it does because we do it in 7 days. But what people don't see is that it is all day, every day.
It's time for disc number two, Oti. What have you chosen?
Disc number two is My African Dream by Vicky Sampson. This song makes me so emotional. And it always reminded me of the journey that South Africa went through, the history, is still going through, and how that relates in my life and how strong people needed to be in order to be free. And it makes me so proud to be South African. It makes me proud to know that I get to bring a bit of my culture, my country to England, and hopefully representing South Africans in the best way possible.
Vicky Sampson and My African Dream. So, Oti Mabuse, let's go back to the beginning then, shall we? You were born in Mabopane, Pretoria, South Africa, 1990, the year that Nelson Mandela was released from prison. And you grew up in a very different South Africa from the one that your parents grew up in. Tell me a little bit about them. Let's start with your mum, Dudu. She's a teacher.
Yes, a force of nature, my mum. And growing up, it wasn't easy. She was in the 1976 riots when the youth of South Africa stormed and they refused to learn in Afrikaans anymore. And they wanted to be taught in English and in a language that they understood. And they were standing up against the government. But it made her so strong and fight for us. When we grew up, she was very strict. Like, we were not allowed to do anything. The only thing we did was go to school, do sports. Weekends, we didn't even have weekends off, we were dancing. And she just didn't want us to grow up and feel like we didn't have opportunities. And she wanted to make sure that we were always busy so that we were never in the streets. We weren't getting up to any mischief.
So dance was a way to keep you busy. But it had also been a passion that she'd loved, something she'd always wanted to pursue but not been able to.
The opportunities weren't there for them. There were no dance schools, there were no dance teachers. It was very segregated as well. And she always loved it. She always wanted to do it. She always wanted to wear those big ballroom dresses and have her hair done. But also in those years, black people weren't allowed to. Mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to even be in the same room or the same dance floor as white people. And one day she was old and she was working as a secretary. and she heard ballroom music playing, and she saw a dance competition, and she was like, this is such a shame that I couldn't do it, but I'm going to see if one of my daughters will. And she then took Mutsi, and Mutsi fell immediately in love with dancing. And Mutsi's my oldest sister. Second sister wasn't so bothered by it.
So this is Pimelo.
Because obviously there was still a lot of segregation. This was before Nelson Mandela was released from jail.
Because there was, there's a 10-year gap, isn't there, between the three of you kind of thing. So you're considerably younger,
I wasn't born yet when they started dancing. And there was no one teaching black kids how to dance where we lived. And so my mom was like, right, the preschool where I work, I'm going to turn that into a dance school. I'm going to get my daughters to practice there. And because the community where we grew up, Mabopane, wasn't really the safest. There were a lot of taxi riots. It was really dangerous. And she also wanted something for the kids in the neighborhood also to have, where they would be safe, where they would be learning, where they can feel free and be kids. That arts and culture is her thing. If she lived in the UK, she probably would have been a Western star. So then she took all the kids in the neighborhood and she put them into dancing. She then realized that after rehearsals, it's really late. You can't walk home. So then she started her own transport company, which would take all the kids from their schools, wherever they went to school, would pick them up, take them straight to the dance school, where they would all learn and be there, do their homework, then they practice, then from there, take them straight home. So parents never really needed to worry as well, because then they had childcare as well.
Wow.
And she did this for years. So it was all I saw. It was all I saw. And I was like, I can do this.
Oti, no wonder with a start like that, that you've continued and fell so hard in love with dance. I think we'd better have some more music, though. Yes. What's your third choice today?
A Song for Mama by Boyz II Men. This song, it reminds me about my mom and how amazing she is, how determined she is, and really how lucky I am to have her as my mom. She always fought for us and she taught us to fight for ourselves and not take no for an answer and be as ambitious and dedicated and competitive as we are. She said, you have to be, otherwise there's no other way to survive in life. I love you, Mama. Mama, you're the queen of my heart. Your love is like tears from the stars. Mama, I just want you to know. Loving you is like food to my soul. Yes, it is.
You're getting emotional listening to that. A Song for Mama, Boyz II Men.
Yep.
Well, your mum sounds incredible. I think we should hear about your father too,
Dad.
Peter.
Yes.
So he trained as a lawyer and retired as a judge.
Yeah. So my competitiveness definitely comes from my dad's side.
Yes, you've described him as driven like no one else.
Like the fact that I can dance from 10 to 10, that's because that's the man I grew up watching. My dad was working so hard. Being that we grew up in South Africa, the ANC used to have missions where they would send some students overseas to come and study in Oxford law so that they can actually fight the regime through law, through education. And some of them couldn't come overseas. They didn't have the papers. They were sent to universities within South Africa to learn law. And my dad was one of them. But I remember my grandma telling me the story and that they also couldn't afford the university where, well, like the school was paid, but the life, you know, university life.
Food and lodgings and all that kind of stuff,
And my grandma, she opened a tavern. She used to sell alcohol so that she can make money to send my dad to school.
Wow.
I know, right? Like, my whole family is full of women who just do things. And he then set up a law firm for himself in an area called Hammanskraal, where people couldn't afford to pay for law. So if you were wrongly arrested, and again, in those times, a lot of black people were being arrested and didn't have any representation, you would then go to my dad, and he was able to help. And sometimes not even, like, for free, really, helping people in those communities and giving them a chance to fight back.
Let's have some more music, Oti. It's your fourth choice today. What have we got and why?
Dance with My Father by Luther Vandross was my wedding song with my dad. It was actually the first time I danced with my dad, to be honest. And it reminds me of the good times and all the values he instills still in us today.
If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again.
Luther Vandross and Dance With My Father. Oti Mabuse, I want to take you back to your school days. You had this life outside as a little dancer. How much did your classmates know about it?
We used to wear school uniform, and once every month on a Friday, we used to pay to wear civvies, and it was civvies day. And that was my opportunity to wear dance dresses to school. I was like, no, I'm not going to wear jeans. I'm a special little girl. I wore a white ballroom dress with my sparkly silvery Latin shoes. And I did my hair up. I looked like an absolute princess. And I came in and I was like, yes, guys, I am a professional dancer. This was like in year one.
So how old would you be?
I would have been six.
Six?
Yeah, six. And my teacher was like, oh, wow. Where's that from? And I'm like, I'm a dancer. And they were like, really? And I think they didn't take me seriously. I certainly don't think they did. And they were like, oh, okay. Will you dance for us? So I was like, yes. Push the table back. Everybody pushed their tails back. And I danced in front of the class. And I was like, and they were like, oh, wow, you really are a good dancer.
As you became more successful, you started travelling abroad to compete, and you were 11 when you went to your first international competition in Blackpool. It's a big deal in the dancing world. What did you make of it all when you got here?
It's a big, big, big deal. Well, leaving the country is a big deal, and being able to compete overseas is a big deal. And it is one of the highlights competitions that you kind of want to do. Every year, it's massive. You have dancers from all over planning their lives around this one competition, and from all ages as well. And I remember getting here, and it was so windy, and it was so grey, and there was a beach. And at that point, I think it was like the promenade. It's called the promenade, right? The lights were on, but it was getting dark. It was so dark. It was like dark at 3:30 in the afternoon. I was like, oh my gosh, the days are so short.
Welcome to the north.
Yeah, yeah. But you spend most of your time in this ballroom, this beautiful, beautiful ballroom with a shiny brown floor made out of wood. And the ceiling had paintings and arts. And the balcony had sculptures on it. And it had looked like nothing I'd ever seen in my life. And it was the best feeling, because we were overseas. No one spoke the same language, by the way. Like, literally no one spoke the same language. But somehow we were playing after we danced. We were in Europe. And then after you dance, you're not really sad if you don't win, really, because you're going to go get a pick and mix afterwards.
You can only be so sad when a pick and mix is on the cards. Let's face it.
Yeah. I remember asking my mom for money because I wanted to go on the rides, because that was fun as well as kids. And I remember her being like, I'm saving money so that we can have food later on. We used to have like half a burger and then save it and have half a burger later. And then she would save money for us to be able to go and be on the arcade and play with the other kids as well.
Oti, we've got to get to the music. It's your fifth choice today. What have you gone for and why?
I've gone for Toni Braxton and Break My Heart. I think this was the first song I realised, okay, there's this thing called love. And I'm growing up, I also love Toni Braxton so much.
Unbreak my heart. Down my life, uncry these tears.
Toni Braxton and Unbreak My Heart. You're singing along with every word, Ultima Brucey, and you look lost in thought. Where were you then?
I was Toni in that moment. Living the drama best life that I can.
So, Ultima Brucey, when we watch you on Strictly and obviously in our conversation today, your tenacity, your appetite for hard work really comes across. What type of student were you? Were you as dedicated in the classroom as you are on the dance floor?
I was really good at school, but I also had like a little rebel side to me where I would do things that made no sense, but in my head they did. So I didn't apply to go to university at all, actually. I was like, that's not what I want to do. I want to dance. And my mom and sister were like, Pamela and my mom were like, no, you need to go to school because if this dancing thing doesn't work out, you need to have a backup. So she took my school report without telling me. She applied for university without telling me. And then Pamela was like, there you go. You got an acceptance letter from the University of Technology. You're going to study cartography. And I was like, I don't want to. But then my mom was like, if you don't, literally, how are you going to make a living? You're not going to be living under my roof for very long. So I was like, okay, fine. Then I actually fell in love with engineering and the maths and science side of it and the idea of building something from scratch and problem solving and going to a field where it's just one tree and sand and then building a community there, building houses for people who can't afford a living.
So that's what you were studying there.
Yes.
It's a kind of the equivalent of building council houses here.
Yes.
In the UK, that kind
Yes.
of thing.
And they're all supported by solar panel energy.
It wasn't long before you qualified. You were close to it, but you did put down your trowels,
yes.
took off your steel toe-cap boots and put on your dancing shoes again, deciding to pursue your career full-time. What did your parents say?
They were, like, against it. Absolutely against it. They were like, this is the worst decision ever. I really, really wasn't happy because being an engineer full-time meant that I couldn't dance. It really didn't feel like that was something that I was ready to give up at that point, to retire at 20 from dancing after I'd been dancing every single day since the age of 4. All of a sudden I give it up. And it just didn't sit right with my soul and it didn't sit right with my heart. And my mom kept saying, quit, quit. If you're not happy, find another job. One day I actually did. I was like, guys, I'm quitting. And mom was like, okay, we'll find another job. And I was like, no, I can't do this. I can't live my life unhappy. I'm only 21. This can't be it. This can't be the journey that I've chosen for myself. I want more out of life and I'm not getting it right now. And so my dad was like, what's the plan? And I was like, well, I've saved up some money and I'm moving and I'm going to dance forever and I'm going to Germany. And they were like, what? I want to dance and I love dancing.
And why Germany in particular?
Because Mutzi was already living in Germany.
Mm.
And so if ever I was not going to succeed or I was going to fail, I would always have my sister, I'd always have somebody to take care of me.
Time for some more music. It's your sixth choice today. What's it going to be?
I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman by Britney. And I think this describes exactly how I was feeling in that moment where I knew that it was time for me to move on. I'm a girl, but I'm not yet a woman and I'm still learning. And the song represents exactly that, just that transition of career change, the fear that we feel just before we're about to make a big leap and not knowing whether it's the biggest mistake of our lives or it could be the best decision that we've ever taken. I'm not a girl.
Britney Spears, I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman. So, Ultima Brucey, let's find out where life took you next to Germany.
Yes.
Where actually you met your husband, Marius. You were looking for a dance partner. Tell me about your first impressions of him.
Oh, gosh. So my first impressions of him weren't great, really, at first, because so we had like planned a date where we would meet in the studio. And obviously when you plan not a date, but like a day we were going to meet.
Yeah.
You dress up, right? So the day before that was the only day where I was left alone in the house to do nothing. And so my goal was to spend the whole day in pajamas with masks and watch movies and eat ice cream. And Marius decided that he would come the day before when I looked atrocious. But he was like, I actually love seeing you like this because then this is who you really are rather than who you were going to show me. And there was just chemistry, you know, that chemistry. It's in the hand. It's in how it feels when he leads. Could I follow that lead? And besides us getting along together, we danced really well together. So the whole thing was just like, it just came together very nicely.
Do you still dance together now?
Yes, we are going on tour now, actually. And he's going to join me on that tour.
Strictly had its 19th series last year, and I don't think there was a dry eye in the house during that final. It was so emotional.
Oh, gosh.
Especially when the actress Rose Ayling Ellis, who is deaf, lifted the winner's trophy with her partner Giovanni Panice. And of course, same-sex couples are now a regular part of the show, you know, right there in the final, John and Johannes last year. How important has the programme been for changing people's perceptions, do you think?
No show has done it so well, so classy, so effortless, so beautifully impactful. There's no show that's done it like that. It's never about being the first. Sometimes they're not the first to do things, but they do it right and they do it beautifully. It makes it okay. I danced with Johnny Peacock for the first time, and he was the first person with a disability on Strictly. And Johnny inspires and still inspires so many kids who thought that they couldn't dance, they couldn't run. The same with Lauren, who had an arm amputation. Mm-hmm. The way Strictly does stuff is so beautiful and so pure.
Ulti, we're recording this in early February. Now, the lineup isn't finalised yet for this year's Strictly. Can we look forward to seeing you going for a third win in 2022?
I can't say.
Even to me?
I can't say yet.
Okay, well, we look forward to hearing.
Thank you.
For now, let's hear your seventh disc today, Ulti. What's it going to be?
Right. This is my favourite song of all time. It is My Life by Bon Jovi. And first of all, it's Bon Jovi, of course, so it's understandable. But this song represents taking control and living the best life ever that you can and embracing all the ups and living and pushing through all the downs. It's my life.
Bon Jovi and It's My Life. Oti, it's made me so happy that you've danced all the way through your Desert Island Discs today. I mean, just fab. And it's full air guitar there.
Literally. I should enter the air guitar competition because I feel like I could stand a chance to win.
You can play that thing like nobody's business. Will you dance on your island, do you think?
No. No. I will be looking for food. I would probably sing. Because nobody can hear me, I pretend that I'm Toni Braxton or Beyonce or Bon Jovi.
Ulti, in the past couple of years, you've also been a judge on dancing and skating competitions. How has it been for you, swapping positions, you know, going from competing to judging?
I love it. I've been on both sides of the table and I know how hard people work. I know how hard people really want you to say something nice because it's not easy. And I always want to make sure that people know that I value and appreciate how hard they're working, whether it's celebrities or it's dancers, that I appreciate it because I understand that they're doing it for us and for people at home and for themselves.
There have been so many changes for you in the past 10 years or so. You know, life has completely changed. Of course, on this programme, the whole point is that we're going to cast you away from all that. Life out of the spotlight. You're going to be on a quiet desert island, but you'll also be completely alone. You know, nobody to talk to, dance with. How will you get on, do you think, all by yourself and without friends?
I would love it.
Without an audience?
I would absolutely love it. Because I spent my time around so many people, entertaining people, dealing with people, my dog as well, my whole family. I celebrate when the house is empty and I'm all alone and I've got just music playing in the background and nothing to do. That's it. That's it. Or listening to a podcast. I love to be alone. I think I would survive really, really well. I'd actually love it too much that I might never, ever come out.
You can have a cracking shelter as well with that civil engineering degree.
I could build it myself. I'm also from South Africa. We build stuff with our hands anyway, so I know I would find some trees and I'd fan myself if it's too hot. I'd know how to purify seawater. I would do really, really, really well.
I'm not worried about you at all. You're all over it. Before you go, though, you've got one more disc today.
It's funny that you asked me about Be On An Island because I think I will survive. And the next song is Survivor by Destiny's Child. And this represents me and my sisters. And this was a song we always used to sing, obviously, because we were three girls and Destiny's Child was three. And it's about all the hard things that we've been through. The times when people told us that we would not survive, the times when people told us that we weren't good enough, the times when people doubted us and put us down. And the best way to kind of retaliate or to show them is to be the best that you can be and succeed. And we were told a lot that there was a lot of things that we could never do and weren't allowed to do. And this song says, no matter how hard things are, how bad things are, and whatever people say, you will survive.
Destiny's Child and Survivor. So, Oti Mubusi, I'm going to send you away to the island now. I'm giving you the Bible and the complete works of Shakespeare, and you can take one other book with you. What will it be?
I would take Will Smith's new book. It's called Will, because I love Will Smith and I think he's amazing.
So just for a bit of Will Smith time on your island?
Just me and Will.
Why not? You can also have a luxury item. What will that be?
I would take a photo of me and my grandma that I take with me everywhere. I love my grandma. She passed when I was 19 and she still holds a special place in my heart. And I talk to her every now and then and I believe she's my guardian angel. So I would take a photo of my Nana.
And finally, which one track of the eight that you've shared with us today would you rush to save from the waves if you had to?
It has to be Bon Jovi. It's My Life. No, I feel really pumped after listening to it. Every single time I hear it, it's just a great song.
Oti Mubusi, thank you very much for letting us hear your Desert Island Discs.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Oti, and I hope that she's happy making a shelter on her island and looking for food. If you want to hear more Desert Island Discs, there are more than 2,000 programmes to choose from in our archive, which include the dancers Dame Darcy Bustle and Dame Ninette de Valois. Search for them through BBC Sounds or our programme website. You'll also find one of Oti's dancing partners, Bill Bailey's Desert Island Discs choices in there too. The studio manager for today's programme was Sarah Hockley, and the producer was Sarah Taylor. Next time, my guest will be the musician Robert Plant. I do hope you'll join us then.
All right, here we go, Otie. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Dance. It has the power to connect and to entertain. And in a new series for BBC Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, I explore the iconic dancers who have been doing just that.
Dance, it really, I think, saved my life.
Join me, Oti Mabuse, as I delve into the lives of the innovators and the mold breakers who have changed dance forever.
Gene Kelly was this working class guy that I just really connected with that.
Oti Mabuse's Dancing Legends on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.